You know, I came down to the church early today to prepare for tonight. Lambert's supposed to be ministering tonight, and he's not feeling well, so he asked me to fill in. And so I already had something prepared, you know. And I knew that when Sunday came around and he wasn't here, I kind of felt a check in my spirit, says, yeah, you better get ready. Get ready with what you have. And, like, I came down a couple hours early, and I was playing that song, you know, getting ready for tonight for praise and worship, and that one part in the song where it says, you're perfect in all your ways, yeah? It hit me really hard. And it was like, I started to think about all the junk stuff that happened in my life, you know? And I started to be like, you know, you guys can sit down. Thank you. I started to think about all the junk stuff in my life, and I was like, wait, God, you're perfect in all your ways, but this happened, you know? And I was like, and I started for just like, it started to just get inside of me, like real, like I just being real with you guys. Is that okay? And it started to get inside. I was like, why would you allow that to happen in my life? And I started, the song kept playing. You are perfect in all your ways to us. And he says, you're a good, good father. Oh man, that hit me hard. Like that part, good, good father came around. And it made me think, like, you know, if God is a good God, why do bad things happen in the world? And I started thinking about what the song says. He's a good, good father. And I'm a father now. And I'm a father now. And I started to understand. As a father, even as good as I want to be to my kids and my wife, things happen. And something happened about a week ago. We were at a party, at a family party. And this family member, we don't normally hang out with them. It was just a special occasion. We went, and my boys went, and they went go play, like boys do, yeah? And they were having a good time. We were eating. Me and my wife were hanging out. And there's a reason why this happened. And my youngest came. Come over here, okay. Come here. This guy, he came crying to the table, and he opened his mouth, and there was blood in his mouth. Oh, man, I tell you what, bro. Oh, Christianity out the window, man. I tell you, we was watching this one movie where it was like a military operation. These guys were surrounded, and the guy said, rain down hellfire. And these guys were surrounded, and everything around them got destroyed. And I tell you what, man, that's what I felt like. I was like, I don't care who, what, where. And thank God for my wife. You know, my wife grabbed him and said, I'll go clean him up, take him to the bathroom. And I sat down. I sat down and I was eating and I was by myself at a table. And I was like, you know what, bro? I don't get to sit down and eat after this happened, bro. I was like, I got to go pound somebody out for this. You know what I mean? Okay, you go back, sit down. I love you, boy. I love my boys, and they know that I love them. And that's what's awesome. You know, they know I love them. You know, things happen, but they know that I love them. You know, and I know that I love them. My wife knows that I love them. And sometimes things happen in life, yeah, that we just, it's just out of our control. Amen? And what I'm going to be preaching to you tonight about is, I was just kind of like thinking about my title for this message. And I'm going to do it, babe. Because it's, I don't want it to be like super serious, but on the heels of bad things happening and us serving a good God, there's always a reason, you know? The thing about God is he can always take a bad situation and turn it around, you know? That's the thing about God, you know? And that's really what I want to get across to you tonight, is that no matter what you've been through, no matter what you're going through, no matter what's happening tomorrow, next week, whatever, we serve a good God. Amen? And for Valentine's Day, we got each other some really cool gifts this year, yeah? And the title of my message is Don't Skip Leg Day, okay? And I'm going to be talking about your foundation. And I used to work with Pastor Herman before. I don't know if you guys know that. And his thing was really like, if you're going to be working out, yeah, you better work out your legs, boy. Because you're not going to be walking around on your arms, okay? You see some of these guys walking around, all big body, you know, like they walk like this, you know? And some of them get like skinny legs, you know? And my wife got me a cute little gift this year. I'm going to go up so you guys can see this, man. This is just hilarious. She got me this year, yeah? And I don't know if her way of saying, hey, man, you know, stop working out those legs, you know? You know, and, you know, I do. I do need to work out my legs. They're kind of skinny. Like, she's got stronger legs than me, man. I love that, though. I was like, maybe we can trade legs this year. You know what I mean? Like, at the end of the year, I get your legs, she get my legs, you know? And, you know, this is funny. Look, we can have fun in church, you know? We can laugh. But it wasn't only when that happened to Al-Kaiba. I was just thinking, like, in life in general, yeah? We cannot carry everything. There's no way I am going to be strong enough to handle everything that happens in life. Amen? Like, I'm going to show you. Like, look, I got a tactical pen here. This is a pen. But it's like a blunt object. Just in case, you know, somebody, like, take them there, you know? I carry a pocket knife that Elder Julio gave me. I love this thing, man. You know, I have a truck that's 4x4, by the way. And, you know, I have all the tools that I think I will need in every situation. But you know what, yeah? There's no way that I will ever be able to handle every single situation that comes my way, yeah? Okay, I'm going to put my pants back down so you guys don't get all distracted with my bird legs throughout the whole service, okay? So you guys came to church and you guys want to hear the word. So let's turn over to the word. And let's go over to Matthew 7. And I've been in Matthew 7 for a while now. And this particular chapter in the Bible is really interesting. Because it's talking about what I was talking about earlier. Is that there is going to be things that's going to happen in life. Yeah, it's going to be out of your control. But if your foundation is in the Word of God, there's nothing that you can't go through. And I'm going to show you in the Scripture. So Matthew 7. And let's go over to verse 24. We're going to start there. Matthew 7, 24 in the New King James Version. You guys can hear me out there? It says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. Okay? And then he breaks down things that happen. He says, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. I'm going to be jumping around in my notes. One of the lessons that screams out in this parable is this. The storm will come no matter what foundation you have. That's something that we just got to just really understand, is that no matter what, you might be 100% Hawaiian, the storm is going to come, okay? You can go to Bible college, the storm will come. Man, you can bench 500. You could have been in the NFL and tackled big guys in football, you know, been play rugby, tackle the biggest tongue in whatever. The storm will come no matter what, okay? In fact, the storm will come to test and expose your foundation or the lack thereof. See, many believers in today's generation have the notion that because they are believers, then they should not experience any kind of storms in their life. How about that, huh? I remember when I first got saved, I thought, okay, man, I got Jesus in my heart. Man, I'm good, bro. No worries, bro. You know? And, you know, that is true. But you will still have to go through some storms. Amen? Now, we don't glorify the storm. We don't glorify the enemy. We glorify the God who brings us through the storms. Amen? When the storm comes, then you start to question if God loves you and start to contemplate the thought that God has forsaken you, which then begs the question, what are you anchored to? Or what are you building your foundation on? Now, I showed you those bird legs, yeah? Just to give you an example of like what I look like compared to what God's strength is. Now, a lot of you that are here have gone to church long enough to have been through a few things. So you know that sometimes you're going to face a situation that looks like an impossibility, and then God. I like what David did, yeah? David was out taking care of sheep, and his dad wanted him to drop off a couple plate lunches to his brothers. And he saw the situation, yeah, that was happening, yeah? And he was, like, eager to take on the giant because he said this, yeah, like, and I'm paraphrasing it. The same God that helped me defeat the bear, the same God that helped me defeat the lion, is the same God that's going to help me defeat you. Amen? And sometimes we forget, and I'm guilty of that, like, so many times. I remember one time, well, not one time, sooner than that, in the beginning of the year. Usually the beginning of the year for me, because I own my own business, it's kind of a slow month. So it's slim pickings. And this ain't the first year I've been doing this business, okay? I've been doing this for a little while. So I know that business is going to pick up eventually, you know? Sometimes more than I think of. And I was out in the garage, and I got a paddleboard that I bought a couple years ago. That I hardly use. If you guys want to come borrow it. But I was walking around, and God was like, I remember you had money to buy that paddleboard, huh? Like, you know? And I started looking around the garage, and I started looking at, like, all the tools that I got. None of this stuff is cheap, you know? Like, a lot of the stuff I need. And the need came in, you know? Because my foundation wasn't in my natural ability, even though that's what I do for a living. My foundation is in God. Amen? Let me go back. Let's go back to the scripture. Now it says in Matthew 7, 24, 26, and it's interesting. He says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. Let's go all the way to verse 1 in Matthew chapter 7. And you know what? I don't have my phone. JJ, can you run up there and grab my phone on the soundboard and bring it back, please?
Yeah.
And I believe it starts off like this. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 1, it starts off on how you judge. Bruh, that hit me pretty good, man. Like, it's like looking in the mirror. It says, do not judge others and you will not be judged. Thank you, Paul. Thanks, buddy. Do not judge others and you will not, how does it go? Be judged. Now, this is a foundational scripture now. He starts up the chapter with judging. Now, I just got your text, Jay. He starts off the chapter with judging others. And, oh boy, let me turn off the volume on this thing. Sorry, guys. And that kind of hit me pretty good because I didn't know how judgmental I was until I started rereading this thing. You know? Do not judge others, and you will not be judged, for you will be treated as you treat others. Ooh. You know, if you ask my wife, this is the truth, I think I go the extra mile most of the time, yeah, babe. Sometimes I do too much, yeah? And it's like, she's like, babe, come on, come back. It's because I believe the scripture. I believe this is another brick in the wall of faith that I'm building. Okay? I believe that for you will be treated as you treat others. I try to do that majority of the time, you know? And this is foundation. For you will be treated as you treat others. The standard you use in judging is the standard by which you will be judged. Now, check this out now. Don't take this up another level, yeah? What if the way we judge people, yeah, is the way we think God is going to judge us? Oh, bro, think about that one now for a second. You can have some of your water. Now, this has a straw. The way you judge others, the way God is judging you. You thinking that bad things coming to you is God's way of not liking you. This is what I got in my spirit this week too, yeah? And I made sure I wrote this down, yeah? If you guys leave this service with nothing else but this, yeah, I got this from God. And I'm going to interject this into the sermon later on, is that God's not mad at you. I don't know who needed to hear that, but God is not mad at you. He's not mad at you. And this is not even one of my notes. If you look at the story of the prodigal son, he did wrong, man. He asked his dad for his inheritance before he was dead, and it was almost like he wanted his father to just be dead so I could get that money and just go and do whatever he wanted to do. And when he realized what he had done, he came back, and where was the father? Was the father in the house watching Netflix? No, he was out there getting ready to, he was looking for his son. He was looking for his boy that was lost. You look at Adam and Eve in the garden. Maybe this is where God wants me to go. The one thing he told them not to do, they ended up doing. And I understand that scripture now because I have kids now. I understand that. You know, you laugh because you have four girls. I know that scripture. I know that. It's like the one thing you tell them not to do, that's what they're going to do. You know? And was God out there in the garden with on belt? I know I would have been. He was out there to walk with them. God's not mad at you. I want you to understand that the scripture says, I'm going to go back to Matthew 7:24 now, okay? It says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain descended. We had a rugby game this past week, yeah? It was the last rugby game for Jedediah. Jedediah joined rugby, and it was like a godsend. We got two friends that we didn't even know knew each other. Both of them told us to play rugby, and JJ played rugby, and he enjoyed it. I even went to Oahu, went to a tournament, and I was like, man, I was so impressed with everything that happened, and it was such a blessing for my boy to be involved in this. And we had the last game, it was like a tournament on Maui, and the last game, they're playing, and it rains. Like, it came down good, man. I was sitting down in my chair, and we had some aunties came. Thank God they had umbrellas. Man, I sat there in the rain. Got rained on, man. JJ got wet, man. Everybody got wet. I don't like that, man. I mean, like, if you're going to play in the rain, but when it's competitive, you like playing, you know, you play football in the rain? You like it? I didn't care for it, you know. I was soaking wet, you know. And sometimes life will just rain on you. You know, usually when it rains, I don't like to work outside, you know, especially if I'm working with electrical, you know, You know, there's a chance that I might get shocked. You know what I'm saying? And it's hard to see in the rain. You know, it's hard because the rain's coming down, you know. And then you get uncomfortable, you know, because you get all wet. You can't move around, you know. But life will rain on you sometimes, you know. And then the floods came. We know about floods because we live in the valley. We have a river that's right across the street from our house. And we go to this river and we move rocks so we can swim. I got two of my friends here tonight that help me move rocks. But you know what happens, yeah? When the floods come, yeah? It moves all those rocks around that we moved, you know? And I don't know what you're going through tonight, yeah? Maybe everything that you put together, a flood came, and it just moved everything around that you had set up, yeah? But God, I'm here to encourage you tonight that God has a plan. You know, it's interesting too, yeah? We've been there, this is going to be 4 years. Every time a flood comes through, yeah, it changes the landscape of the pond that we made, the river. But every time, Mama, every time, the river get better. God's honest truth. I'm not just using this for my sermon. Every time we set them up, this last time, you can ask these guys too, this last time the flood came through, man, the river is the best it's ever been. Like, the pond is huge now. There was a couple of times when the floods came through, it was almost like when beach had like red sand at one point. But now it's like it got up to the point where it's this deep now. It's almost like my pond is better than anything in Kirpaniwai. Until the floods come again. Okay? But the floods will come. And the winds blew and beat on that house. You know, Maui experienced a windy scenario where the winds came and the fires came and it burned up a lot of property in Lahaina and a lot of people were displaced, you know? But God, amen, I'm just excited to see what God is going to do through this scenario. You know that? I am hopeful and I am faithful that God will redeem the time. What does the Bible say? All the years of the caterpillar, the locust, the worm, all that, God will restore all of that. Amen? Let's go back now. So we're in verse 3. And why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? Hoorah. Now this is foundational now. This is what you build on now. Amen? I everybody should be smiling at this. Yeah? I walk around sometimes with a log in my eye, trying to pick out specks in people's eyes. You know, this is foundational. If you use this in your life, yeah, when things come across your way, the Bible tells us that it won't wash you away. It won't tear down everything you have. Because check this out, yeah. If everything you're building is on your bird legs, it's gonna fall anyway. Amen. If it's built in the natural, it's going to crumble. The Bible says when we get to heaven, we offer up God our crowns. It's all wood, hay, and stubble anyway. He owns everything. Yeah? I mean, heaven is paved with the things that we put on our fingers. We're going to be walking on gold, right? That's nothing to him. Right? Amen. How can you think of saying to your friend, "Let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye," when you can't see past a log in your own eye? Hypocrite. Ooh. That's one strong one, man. I don't like to be called hypocrite. But I've been there before. First, get rid of the log in your own eye. Then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. Don't waste what is holy on people who are unholy. Don't throw your pearls to pigs. They will trample the pearls, then turn and attack you. That's one thing you got to watch out. Watch who you share with, what you're sharing. Not everybody's going to receive what you have to say. So you got to be led by the Holy Spirit. You got to be led and say, "Okay, God, are you tugging me this way? Then go." And if he's saying no, then no. And just hold back and just let God be God. Amen? Effective prayer. Keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who seeks finds, and to everyone who knocks, the door will be open. I have kids again. I know scripture works. I have kids. And when they want something, they're going to keep asking for it. And sometimes I got to say, hey, hold on a second. All right, you know, one of my boys, he has this one way of asking for stuff. I remember we went on one trip, and they were good. They were pretty good for the most of the trip. And we get into this one shop, and we're looking around, and he's like, man, if I could have one thing for this whole trip, that's what I want, that one thing. You know, like kind of drop that little hint, you know. And then we'll be walking around, and he's like, man, he'll grab it, he'll walk around with it, and he's like, man, I really like this thing, you know. You know, it's man, if I could just have this, I don't think I would want anything else in the world, just this one thing, you know. And we can be that way with God, you know. God says to keep asking until you get. And it's interesting, sometimes you don't get exactly what you ask for, but he'll give you what you need, you know. You know that? This part, you parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So if you sinful people, wow, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give to you good gifts to those who ask him? Now, we're setting up a foundation here, okay, guys? I want you to leave with all of this scripture inside of you, knowing that even though I'm a good parent, He's a better father than me. He trumps me in every way. He's a good father. Amen? The golden rule, do to others whatever you would like them to do to you. This is the essence of all that is taught in the law and the prophets. We just go right back to being the kind of doing unto others how you want them to do to you, right? The narrow gate. You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad and its gate is wide for many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow and the road is difficult and only a very few find it. It goes on to talk about the tree and the fruit. Beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep but are really vicious wolves. You can identify by their fruit. And this one is easy, huh? If you go to a guava tree, don't expect grapefruits, right? You go to a mango tree, no expect figs. You know, if you're planting strawberries, no expect corn. Amen? A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. Yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions. I'm going to go back to this, building on a solid foundation. Anyone who listens to my teachings and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. I'm going to go to verse 26 now. But anyone, and I always used to wonder, what is a person who builds on the rock is a person who uses God's word. But what is a person who builds on the sand? Huh? What's that? All about self? Anybody else? What is a person who builds on the sand? Foolish? Yeah, they're foolish. That's right. Do it their way, yeah? Exactly. But anyone who hears my teachings and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on the sand. Doing it your way. Doing it your way. Man, I'm guilty of that. You know, we all are. We all are. And we can see the fruit of building on the foundation of God's word. And we can see the fruit of building of our own way, yeah? Amen? Yeah, it's kind of evident, right? And it's not only evident to us, other people can see when God is glorified and you build on the foundation of God's word. It's evident to everybody else. Amen? What is always approaching but never arrives? You know, so you can. Tomorrow. What we need to have is we need to have our faith grounded in today. You know? The Bible talks about, like, tomorrow is promised to no one, right? Well, I like what Kung Fu Panda said. And I know he didn't make it up. It's like a Chinese proverb. It says, yesterday is history, tomorrow is a mystery, but today is a gift because it's called a present, right? Staying in the present. That's all we have is right now. Right now. And so many times we worry about what's not even here yet, you know? And worry doesn't do anything, right? Amen? The Bible says in Ephesians 6:10, yeah? In conclusion, be strong in the Lord, draw your strength from Him, and be empowered through your union with Him in the power of His boundless might. I like that. Hard times create strong men. Strong men create good times. Good times create weak men, and weak men create hard times. That's a quote. And I can see that in my own life. Now, if I want to go back to the beginning of the sermon, yeah? As I was up here listening to the song, and I think about everything that I've been through. Everything that I've been through. If you guys got some time, we can sit down and drink some coffee and we can talk about where we came from. You know, and I was talking to my wife about this today. It's like, I don't want to get to the place where I feel like I've arrived and I've become somebody. Because I know what God had to deal with when He called me. You know? I know where I came from. You know? And I think what I'm trying to get across to you is that we need to stay in that mode of humility, knowing that it's God who brought us this far. Amen? We're here because God deemed it for us to be here for this time, for this season. Amen? Because God's word will work in every situation if we let God's word work. If we let it work, you know? I'm trying to think of, like, This whole, like, I don't want to make the sermon about, like, my boy joining rugby, but it really was a godsend. You know, we my youngest goes to Kekula, and his friend's father, which is our friend now, just suggested, hey, you guys should put your boy in rugby, you know? And we kind of thought about it, asked JJ, I was like, hey, you want to do rugby? I was like, no, I want to do soccer. And he was like, okay. Well, we signed him up. And then we went to another event, and we met another friend that we hadn't seen for a long time, and we started talking, and he's like, hey, you should put your boy in rugby. Haven't seen these guys for years, you know? And it's kind of cool because, like, then we put two and two together. These two guys knew each other. They were actually coaching the team, and I was like, this is a God thing, you know? And I watched him grow through this season of this sport. And I got to grow too, you know? And it was another foundational block in our life because it's something new, you know? And God just brought it, and it was the perfect time, and it was the perfect season, you know? You're looking at me like, okay, where are you going to go with this? it was interesting because as a man, yeah, I want my boys to be tough. I don't want them to be bullies, but I want them to be tough. And it was a prayer of mine, it was a desire of mine to instill this toughness in my boys, not in the way that I grew up. Because I grew up pretty rough scenario. We grew up in Happy Valley, down housing. I don't think it gets any rougher than that. If you want to go to if there was a projects in Hawaii and on Maui, that would probably be the spot. Yeah. And we grew up there, and you know what made me who I am today, I didn't feel like I needed to bring my boys through that. And this answered prayer was part of it, you know. That's where I was going with that, you know. And it's interesting because God brought it to play. It wasn't something that I even had an idea about. Like, that's what's so cool about it is, like, I never thought of rugby. Not in my wife and I, we just talked, like, no way, rugby. That's an example of how God is such a good, good father. He's not just a good father. He's good, good father, you know? He sees the desires of your heart, and he makes them available to you. Like the scripture says it, those, if you ask, if you knock, if you seek, he will answer. He will open. He will give. And that's the foundation that I want to lay tonight, is that when you put your strength in God and you don't try to do it in your own ways, God will open the door. And like I said before, these situations that happen, yeah? How did I say it? I'm just looking through my notes, okay? These situations are like another block of faith in the foundation of the wall in my life. And we all have them. Amen? And I'm going to end with this. Before I give you the scripture, is that what I got from the Lord is that when you go through these scenarios, yeah, in your life, when you go through the storms that are in, it'll happen, that always happen, yeah, you need to speak the word. It's not good enough just to read it, you know? It's not good enough just to hear it being said to you, but you need to speak it out. Because when you speak the word, what happens? You hear yourself saying it, you know, and it reinforces what you say. Amen? And it sounds so simple, yeah? It sounds so simple. I was like, okay, well, yeah, I know that. Duh, right? You know, Last night I got home and I started to feel a little funny kind. And so I had to do what I know to do. You know? So I got home and, you know, drank a little bit of vitamin C water, you know, drank some chili pepper water, and then I started speaking the word of God over my body, you know? You know? I do what I can in the natural with my chicken feet, you know, with my chicken legs, and then I speak the word and I let God's word work inside of me, you know? And then I walk out that word, you know? And you know, not to say that that's not what Elder Lambert's doing. I know he's doing that. But maybe he needed to relax so that I could preach this to somebody tonight. You know, you tell him that, you know? Maybe that's what it was. Because God's a good, good father, right? Lord forbid Lambert gets sick, and that's not the Lord's will. And we're going to get an opportunity to pray for him tonight. We're going to get a prayer cloth and pray with and give it to him. And praise God, you know. He can just relax, you know. Amen? Because in Romans 8:31 it says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, This foundation, though, guys, if God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, what can be against us? If God is for us, right? God is God. Amen? This gets deep now. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Now, that's deep now. That's something to just kind of meditate on now. If God, now I have three boys. God gave his only son. His only son for you and I. That's a pretty good foundation to stand on now. If he gave us his only son, what else will he hold back? Nothing. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. God will not hold back nothing from us. Amen? The word is always our foundation. Amen? And that's all I have for you tonight. I hope you receive. I hope you receive this word, and I hope you can take that home with you. And whatever you're going through, I hope you can remember that tomorrow is tomorrow. Today is today. And God is big enough to deal with whatever you're going through right now, in this very moment. I'm thoroughly convinced. I wouldn't be up here preaching to you tonight if I wasn't convinced that anything that the devil can throw at you, God can handle.